far, but how do we get the stuff we need into space to make it happen? Fuel, water, building materials? Well, maybe the answer is we don't. We use what is there. Anyway, these questions are being asked at a Royal Astronomical Society conference today, and I'm joined by Professor Ian Crawford, Professor of Planetary Science at Birkbeck College, who's behind the conference, and Vipa Srivastava, who is a PhD researcher at the Open University, researcher in space architecture. So the point of this, Ian, is what? That we have to start beyond the Earth, really, because gravity is the big killer, so if we're going to build space stations, it's got to be on the Moon.
Yes, and not only space stations on the Moon. I mean, the next generation of really large scientific instruments, large space telescopes, for example, or ambitious space missions to the outer solar system and bases on the Moon and Mars, all of these things would be scientifically very enabling, but they'll all be tremendously expensive if we have to launch everything that we need from the Earth into space. And so the idea is to use resources that we find in space, it's like living off the land, if you like, to make these space activities affordable. And the aim of our conference today is to try and get the space industry people talking to the scientists to try and understand the synergies that the science community will have with the new space commercial people.
Is the stuff out there?
Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, every element in the periodic table exists out in space on other planets.
Just but not all on the Moon.
Just as it does on the Earth. No, not all on the Moon. And indeed, different planets concentrate different materials in different places. So there's a lot of geological exploration, prospecting to be done, finding where on the Moon or where on asteroids the right materials are. And then they can be utilised to help develop future space exploration. So that's exactly what we want to talk about in our meeting.
And one of the fascinating things is, this is where you come in, Vipa, you're talking about printing, 3D printing, and being able to create things from this 3D printer. I'm struggling terribly to get my head around that.
Actually, 3D printing is a technique which is also commonly known as additive manufacturing technique. So basically the concept is building any structure by adding the raw material layer by layer and using some kind of heat source to bind the layers. And it is used extensively on terrestrial applications, in terrestrial applications on our planet. We plan to use the lunar regolith, or in simple terms,
the lunar regolith.
Regolith. Uh-huh. So regolith is basically any loose heterogeneous material that is found on the surface of
so the soil, covering the
solid rocks.
That's the lunar soil. Yeah.
The lunar soil, basically. And when we know that the construction on our planet uses cement usually,
yeah,
and cement is composed of a chemical combination of elements like calcium, silicon, aluminium, iron, and other ingredients.
All of which
and
are there this, in that soil.
Yes, and all of these things are also present on the surface of Moon. There are many abundant silicate minerals on Moon, and thus the lunar soil becomes a very good feedstock for printing structures on Moon.
But don't you have to get one of these massive printers there to start with? Massive 3D printers there to start with?
Well, that's something in which I'm looking and trying to research upon. On Earth, when we use 3D printers, we need usually the 3D printers to be bigger than the structures that we want to make.
It seems logical.
Yeah, but we are trying so that we can take small printers, which would be like robots, and they can travel around. They can carry the regolith to the place where we want to construct structures, put the regolith, lay them layer by layer, add a binder or put a heat source, and then fabricate a structure.
So you'd end up with this wonderful telescope or whatever.
Or a kind of lunar base or landing launching pads.
Right.
Anything.
Right, now you're nodding ahead at that, Ian. So give us an idea, if you can, look into the future. How are we talking about 10 years, 50 years, a century away, this sort of thing?
Well, you've got to start now, haven't you? You've got to start where we are. And I think the good news is there are a lot of companies starting up now to try and see whether they can turn a profit by mining materials in space.
Really?
And they're just starting up, right? But they've identified places on the Moon, they've identified asteroids that they believe would be economically viable from a commercial point of view. And so what we want to do is to get the scientific community talking to these guys so that we can evolve in tandem. I mean, they need scientific knowledge to be told where to mine their materials, but science can benefit from the things they make.
So you're actually talking to serious industrialists about mining on the moon?
Yes, indeed.
We've got about 20 seconds left, unfortunately. When could this start to happen?
So it's early days, but it can start to happen within the next few years.
Really?
But of course, it will build up over the next coming decades as a space economy gradually evolves.
So within the generation living today, we're going to crack it.
Well, I hope so.
Well, there we are. On that hopeful note, we'll end it. Professor Ian Crawford and Vibha Srivastava, thank you both very much.
Dave McMullen, Tracy Rubenstein were our editors. From John and me, good morning.